You are currently listening to Opening Up with Rachel Smith, an encouraging, light-hearted and uplifting podcast to inspire you on this journey called life.
Yeah. Go for it. Hi everyone and welcome back to Opening Up with Rachel Smith. This week I am with Satisha and we're going to talk about being Christian. We're both Christians. We go to church together and we actually met at church. And this week we just want to talk about being able to have fun and have a personality as a Christian woman, and to just know that you don't have to be boring. I don't know if that's mean to say.
No, it's not mean.
Because I think there's this big stereotype that we have to, obviously we follow rules, but we're bound by these rules and there's a lot of things we can and can't do and we can't have fun and we can't, I don't know, break the rules from time to time. Obviously there's, you know, limits to how much we break rules, but we just want to go into a bit more detail about that and just show and hopefully show our personalities as well. Like, yeah. I often say when I do the podcast on my own, I don't really get to show my personality because I sit and talk to myself and it's a really weird situation. So it's nice to be able to have somebody else with me and to just be able to have this kind of conversation. What are your thoughts on it?
I just think as a Christian, you are expected to uphold a certain kind of standard of godliness, and your conduct is obviously supposed to represent the character of Christ. Mm-hmm. But I also think that, you know, we had a personality before we came a Christian.
That's true.
And we still have a personality after. But I just think sometimes when you're learning about just who you are as a person, now that you're a new creation in Christ, mm-hmm. it's kind of like, okay, there's certain things that I'm not going to do and there's certain things that I still can do. So mm-hmm. obviously your behaviour might change, but it's trying to keep your identity and not get lost and in the spiritual stuff and just feel like, you know, because I'm renewing myself and I'm transforming how I am as a person, mm-hmm. but just remembering that God gave you your personality and you still can be yourself.
Mm-hmm. That's so true, and that's something that I personally have kind of struggled with. I think, so you grew up in church, right?
Yeah,
so I didn't. So I went to church when I was in high school and then I wandered away for quite some time, and it's only kind of been in the last handful of years that I've come back. But when I came back, so to speak, it was hard for me to figure out, it was hard for me to shed my old life, but it was also hard for me to find this new identity because I was so caught up in this idea that, not that we couldn't have personalities, but it was so hard. Like, you get so lost in the spiritual thing. And then especially, I feel personally that the church very much determines that as well. Like, especially the older school churches, they are very kind of, I don't know, strict and to the point. And there is a lot of judgment, I find, with that. But whereas I find that the newer churches, they are more open to people being able to kind of make mistakes, and they're more graceful when you are in that transitional period and it's not very much a right and wrong and you've done good and you've done bad, or, you know, do you know what I'm trying to say? Like, there's definitely, I think, especially in England, there's definitely a stigma about if you mess up once, then you're this horrible person and that you can, you shouldn't be a Christian because you mess up. And obviously we know that we're forgiven before we've even done whatever it is that we have done. That's definitely something that I've really struggled with over time. Have you had any experience with that?
Well, yeah, so basically I did grow up in the church. So I started going to the church when I was a baby, practically. And then I used to go with my grandmother. And then a few years later, when my parents got saved, I would go with them. And my experience with church was not necessarily a good one. Mm-hmm. I just found it boring, if I'm being honest.
We've all been there.
I just found it boring and it was very religious. Mm-hmm. And don't get me wrong, I had some of my best experiences there through the people that I met. And, you know, like we used to go on camps and stuff like that, and it was always fun. But I just didn't connect with it at all. Yeah. And I'm the type of person, if I don't connect, then I'm just going to switch off. So I literally wouldn't engage that well when I was there. And I felt like I couldn't really be myself as well. So I couldn't express myself how I wanted to because of that fear that people are always judging you. And just even, like, if you walk into the building, it's like, oh.
she's
here, like, what's she wearing? Kind of thing. And that's the vibe that I would pick up.
I definitely had a vibe as well, like, when you're worshipping, like, if your hands are, like, here or if your hands are here, and you can tell that somebody's judging you, and you're like... why does it matter where your hands are? Like, it all comes from the heart. And, you know, like you said, there's definitely a lot of judgment.
So then, obviously, I just thought, once I was old enough to kind of make my own decisions, I was like, right, I'm done with this. I don't want no part of it. And literally just turned my back on it. And I stayed out of church for 10 years.
Wow.
So it was a long time out of church. But I still believed in God, although I wasn't living a Christian or godly life. Really my lifestyle, but you know, I still believe that God was real, and I still try to somewhat talk to him and communicate with him, but I just didn't have a personal relationship with him. But then when I did go back to church again, I was like really nervous about it, but soon as I walked into the church that I'm at now, it was like a totally different experience, and it was like, oh my gosh, like I just didn't even know how to take it. But I just felt like people weren't watching you or judging you, and I felt like I could just watch them and just observe how everyone was, and also take things from their interactions with people and say, okay, I'll be more like, because I was very standoffish. I'm the type of person, like, if I don't know you, I'm not going to speak to you.
Yeah, I'm exactly the same. I'll literally walk away from people. Well, actually, no, that's a lie. I used to be, but since kind of I've worked a lot on myself during lockdown, I feel like I'm the person that would be more willing to walk towards people. Yeah. But I was definitely that person that if I saw someone coming towards me or if somebody like complimented me, I'd like do a full like walk around just to avoid people.
Yeah. So I just kind of felt like it was an opportunity to say, look, Satisha, like, just be a bit more open to the experience, to people, meeting new people. So I just kind of, like, started to be more friendly, started smiling more. And even though that was that didn't come across naturally to me, I thought, okay, people are smiling at me. People are hugging me. So, like, either I just avoid you completely or... I try and then it didn't feel natural at first, but now it's obviously a lot more natural. But again, going back to the personality thing, I still kind of felt for a while that because of my own personal convictions and just on this new journey with God, that I didn't know how to be myself because you want to represent him well and you're trying to work on yourself to be better.
And did you find that part of that was because you didn't know who you were before you went back? Because I thought that was a big issue for me. Like, I completely lost myself and I didn't know who I was. So that when I then came into this new journey and going back into church and starting that relationship again, because I didn't know me just as a person, I found it really hard to then transition into the person that he wanted me to be as well.
100%. I 100% agree with that. Because... I just didn't know who it was because I'd got so lost in the world. Yeah. And like, just, I wasn't even sober minded. Like my life, I wasn't living a sober life. So when you're not sober most of the time, how do you know who you are?
Yeah.
Because you're relying on, you know, alcohol or just partying and other people's opinions to kind of tell you who you are. And that becomes who you are, so you get lost in that. So when you take that away and it's like, oh, who am I without all these
this
things?
This is just me now, there's nobody else around.
All these vices I've gone now, who am I? And it's like, especially for me, the transformation was quite quickly, like the growth process was quite a quick one for me. Soon as I got serious about God and like got saved again and rededicated my life and got baptized, it was like, okay, I'm serious about this. And I just went with everything that God wanted to do. I didn't try and hold back with anything. And it wasn't a change that happened straight away. It was a process.
Mm-hmm.
So when I did fall back into a bit of sin, I'd be like, oh, I'd feel a bit like I'm not good enough. Do you know what I mean? And I'd look at other people and compare myself to them and think, well, how can they do it? I don't seem like I'm, you know, I'm struggling here. And I didn't feel like I had the people around me who could see past the facade and see past the mask that I was trying to put on, because I was trying to live this good Christian life.
And it's so easy to just be like, yeah, I'm this good Christian person, but like you said, like behind the scenes there's so much going on that you're just not willing to reveal. And I think that, like you just said, it comes down to the people you're surrounded by and being able to have like open and honest conversations. I mean, we have so many honest conversations. That was not coming out then.
Yeah.
Even like the other week, like you called me and you were like, hey, I've got this word for you, can I come and meet you? And I was like, yeah, sure. And then you just kind of completely called me out, but in the best way possible. And I was like, okay, this is why I'm friends with her, because you need people like that. Like, you need to be held accountable. You need people to bring confirmation as well. Like, a lot of what you said was confirmation, but it was also things that I wasn't being like this awful person, but like there was definitely decisions that probably weren't the right decisions, and it was nice to just know that somebody is there holding you accountable and being like, come on now, like, get back on track. This is where you should be. This is what he wants for you. This is what you should be doing. And one of the things that you were saying is being more open about my faith. Like, that's something that I guess I'm still, I don't struggle with it. I don't really know how to word it, because I don't care what people think and I don't struggle voicing it. But I feel like just because of the stigmas in England specifically, like it's so much harder to be kind of forthcoming about it. Like, if somebody asks me, I'll talk about it. But to be, I don't know, walk into a room and be like, hey, look at me, I'm Christian. Like, you know, it's not as easy to do, I find, over here. And that was one of the things you were saying, like, you know, you need to be more open. Like, I kind of have a small platform, but a platform nonetheless. A growing platform. Yeah. You just need to be more, you know, open and sharing your story, and not only my testimony, but even your testimony sat here now. Like, I can use, you know, the podcast, the YouTube videos, whatever it is, to just help share the goodness and to just bask in all his glory, because there's so many people out there that are like healing and growing and doing the most amazing things. Yeah. And one of the things we do want to talk about is kind of the waiting season of so many different things. We've had many conversations about this. Just kind of go into the waiting season and kind of how it's going for you right now in whatever aspect, as much as you're comfortable with.
I think I'm in a place where I'm content with where I'm at. And I feel like I've just spent so much time working on myself, personally developing myself. And I feel like, I mean, I'm just in a good place mentally, emotionally, spiritually, physically even, because I'm working on myself in that aspect.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there's obviously things that God knows that I've been praying about. And yeah, it's just teaching me to be patient, to wait well. And I think that's something that I've never been able to do before. Like, when I'm talking about impatience, I'm talking like, if I'm in a queue and I'm waiting and it's not moving quick enough, I'm like, listen, I've got places to be. So even in the small things, I'm like, yeah, I need to work on that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's what faith is, though. It's like being able to trust that, you know, what you're believing for is going to happen. You don't know when, but you know that God's going to do it, you know.
And you need to have faith that what you're hearing is him. And to know when it's him or whether it's the enemy trying to distract you. And I think that's very important in terms of kind of the waiting seasons. It's very easy to want something and almost jump on it and be like, this is what I heard, this is what I said. And there's often times where that's absolutely not what you heard, or that's absolutely not what was destined for you, and we end up causing ourselves so much pain and misery, really, from chasing things that just aren't ultimately meant for us, or we see somebody else doing something and we're like, we want that, but everybody's stories are so different, and we can't chase somebody else's story, because that's ultimately just gonna negatively impact our lives in so many different ways.
Yeah, definitely, I agree with that. I think, you know, whatever God's got for you, it's unique to you, it's personal to you, so there's no point comparing yourself to someone else's life or just what God's doing for them, because it's completely different for you, and you don't want to get in a trap where you're kind of getting frustrated because you see that someone else is prospering in an area that you want to. And just trust his timing. That's all I can say.
It's so
just
true.
Trust his timing in every area.
I think that's so important what you just said. And it's also important to know that just because somebody is prospering in a certain area of life doesn't mean that what is promised for you isn't going to be as prosperous. It's just in a different aspect or a different area. And I think we can so often get dragged down by that. Like if I see you, for instance, I don't know, thriving in your job, I feel like, well, I want to thrive in my job, but maybe my purpose isn't to thrive in my job. Maybe my purpose is to thrive just by being a kind person, or whatever that may be, and however that looks for other people. I think it's just important to know that you are promised, you know, all these things, and you just need to find comfort and peace in knowing that what is meant for you will come for you, and that obviously other people's things are not meant for you. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And just even use an example with like the things that you're doing, like your podcast, blogs, things like that. You know, there's so many people doing these things, but you know, it's just having the confidence in yourself and what you're bringing to this, and not thinking like, because you see someone else who's got a bigger platform than you, and just thinking, oh, you know, it seems unattainable to you at the moment, but you know, as long as you're consistent in what you're doing, then you'll see the progress. And just, you know, you sometimes you have a goal in your mind of what, where you want to get to, and sometimes it's not happening quick enough, and you think,
oh, we've all been there.
Yeah, we've all been there. We're like, oh. Do you know what I mean? Like in my mind, I was like, oh yeah, that's going to happen next year, and it's not happening next year. And I think being a Christian as well, one of the things, God will show you things. He'll show you, he'll give you little snapshots of your future.
Yeah.
So sometimes you think, okay, that's great, and it encourages you and it keeps you going, because you know that that's something to look forward to. And like we were saying the other day about, you know, being expectant and just having joy in your waiting season as well, and doing everything that you know that you can do during that time. You're not just sitting waiting, you know, you're active, you know, you're working on yourself, you're living out your purpose. So it's just coming to a point where, okay, I know this bit of information, I'm reading the word, and it's telling me, you know, that, you know, I'm gonna, if I have faith to believe it, then it will come to pass. Surely it will come to pass. And even like, there's a scripture in I can never say it, Habakkuk. And it says, like, write the vision down, make it plain. And even though it tarries, it will surely come to pass.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, as long as you've written it down and you know, or even if God's told it, write it down. Keep it at the forefront of your mind. Don't think about it every day. You know, carry on, crack on with your life. But just write it down so that you can actively know that if you're taking these small steps, that it will surely come to pass in due time, in due season.
And it's so interesting you say that, because that's something that I do. Like if I hear something, I intentionally write it down. And then it's also a way of kind of getting it out of my head, because I find sometimes if I leave things in my head, they like fester, even though they're good things, they like fester, and then you can end up thinking about them, excuse me, like so much, and it can almost take over sometimes. And so one of the things I do to try and clear my head is to write it all down. And it's interesting, when I first started, way back when, initially when I was doing my blog, like I wouldn't even take pictures for my blog. Like I wouldn't, I didn't want to be the face of my blog, like nothing about it. But it's funny, because if I go back to my notes, like I have things written down where I'm like, you're going to be on video, you're going to be on camera, you're going to be doing all these different things. And at the time writing it, I was like, okay. Even down to kind of like my weight loss, like I saw so clearly in my head a picture of me like pretty much the size I am now. And I just laughed because I was like, well, okay, I'm going to be half the size I am in 12 months. I'm going to be on camera. It's like, whatever, like somebody's playing a game.
And just even me sat here, I'm like, I was laughing because I was like, come on now, this is not something I would normally do. And it's funny when you said about laughing, like I think about how Sarah, she laughed when she got that word from God that they were going to have a son. And
it's
like,
almost like
an old age.
What's the word? Like a... I feel like sometimes when I laugh at it, it's the things that come to pass the quickest because it just seems so far-fetched. And especially the timings, like, I don't know, something that might take a non-believer 12 months might take us like a month or something. Like even one of my friends, Jo, who was on the podcast a few weeks ago, her whole eating disorder recovery, it's happened so quickly. Like there's obviously she's still struggling. It's not the end of it, but in the space of, let's say, I think it's like 4 or 5 months. Like 4 or 5 months ago, she couldn't even walk into a supermarket and buy a sandwich because it was just plagued her with her eating disorder and everything that goes on with it. Now, like, we're going out for meals together. And it's purely because she was praying so hard into it. And obviously, she's had professional help. But just his timing and just there's so many things kind of, it's a whole big story, so I'll get Joe back on at some point. But like, there's just so many things that's happened in such a short space of time that just looks so unrealistic to the outside world. And even just for me, like the amount of weight I've lost, the amount of things I've done during kind of the lockdown 12-month period, like even to me, it doesn't feel real. Like it's like, so hard to believe.
Because obviously, I was talking to you throughout that period, and I was like, oh my gosh, because the last time I saw you, which was a bit before we went into lockdown.
Yeah, which was like March, not last year, the year before. No, March last year. Yeah, last year.
And obviously you were a different size. And like, then when I saw you again, like however long it was, I think for the first time last year.
15 months, something like that.
And I was just like, well, obviously I've seen your progress through social media, but, and I was just like, whoa. To be able to do that in lockdown, to be able to do that with everything else that's going on, and you're in the house as well, you're not going to the gym.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah. Like, yes, we could go on walks and stuff, but like, first of all, I didn't even set out to lose weight. Like, I didn't try to lose weight. But then for it to just happen so quickly in a season where you really can't leave your house other than to go for like an hour long walk, like it just shows you that sometimes we feel like we need all these big, I don't know, maybe tools or people, like we need so many things to create something that's in our heads, but actually like we have everything that we need to get to wherever it is we're going. And even if you can't leave for your house for 12 months, there are still things you can do inside your house that can get you to the purpose that is promised for you.
And I'm just reminded of, well, I know you like Michael Todd and Transformation Church, and one of the things he says is all you have is all you need. And that's always stuck with me. I'm like, literally, all I have is all I need at this moment in time. Like, so just get started. Like, just start. And I think once you get that mentality and not wait till you've got everything in place or everything you think you need in place, you won't do it. So
And it's so true. And also there's things where maybe something that you bought years ago that might not seem relevant may come into relevance. Like my camera, for instance, like I've had this camera for years and I probably didn't touch it for like 2 years because it was just sat in my house and I was like, whatever. But I never got rid of it because it just felt, obviously, it's expensive. I'm not just going to throw it away. But also like I knew at some point it was going to become relevant again. And now during lockdown, like I'm sat here recording, well, not lockdown anymore, but during lockdown, like, I'm now using my camera again. Like there's things that I can't even think of anything else off the top of my head, but there's so many things that, or skills that I learned years and years ago that at the time I just learned them and I didn't think they would have any relevance, but now it's all coming back in. And I think that's one thing that I've learned is that even if something doesn't make sense in the right now, there's a reason for it and there's a purpose for it. And maybe I'm not going to know what the reason in it is for 6 months or 12 months or even 4 or 5 years, but there's a reason why we're going through everything we're going through. And whether it's waiting, whether it's growing on yourself, that doesn't make sense. Whether it's growing on yourself. I mean, you know what I mean? Just everything has such a big purpose, and it's up to us to just continue listening and hearing, and to just walk through those doors that he's leading towards us towards, and to know that the people that are kind of gravitating towards us are for a reason, good and bad.
Yeah. And I think, you know, the Bible talks about there's a season for everything, and it's just, he makes everything beautiful in its time as well. So like you were saying, going back to like just your camera, for example, like you might, if you had given that away, for example, you would have then had to go and buy another one when you needed it.
Yeah.
So even though it wasn't for that purpose, you didn't need it in that time, you know, the fact that God had a purpose for it in its time, so you're able to use it. And I can use an example, like I bought quite a bit of like gym equipment for home workout, and even though I wasn't a fan of home working out, I just bought little bits. But then obviously when lockdown came, I had those things there, and you know, and I didn't really have the money at the time to like be going out buying those sort of things. And plus people were like overdoing it when everyone was buying everything. So I might have not got the things that I wanted then. So the fact that I had them there, and even though I wasn't utilizing them at the time, it was good to know that I had them. So even with books, for example, I've got books that, you know, I've read them and I've not really retained it as well, or I've not got what I needed from it at that time because it wasn't the time for me to pick up that book and read it. But then I've gone back to it in the season where, and I'm like, whoa, it's like fresh, and I'm like, whoa, this is speaking to me right now. And literally that's been happening a lot recently. I've just been picking up books that I've already had, and they're just speaking to me in a fresh way and helping me through my season that I'm in, including the weight.
Like, with books specifically, like, I'm one of these people that I read so many books, like self-help books and even kind of non-self-help books. But there's been times where I've started a book and I've just not got into it for whatever reason, and I've kept my bookmark in the same place, and like you said, it's been put back on the shelf, and 6 months later something has gone, go pick up that book, and I read it and I'm like, wow, this is, you know, word for word exactly what I needed to hear right now. And it's just amazing, the timing and how it all works. And to the outside world, it's like, oh, that's just a coincidence, but there's no coincidences.
There's no coincidence with God. It's a God incident. That's what
I like that. I've never heard that before. God incident. It's true. Like, there really isn't any coincidence, and everything that we go through is for such a specific purpose. And I know the scriptures, like, I feel like it's one of those scriptures, it's so true, but it's like so overused at the same time. It's like, you are like made for such a purpose, and there's no mistake in the design of you. And it's so simple, but like, I think it's because it's so often used, it just kind of gets brushed I can't talk today. It just gets brushed like to whatever, to the side. But it is true. Like, we are all designed so specifically for a unique purpose. And as long as we're following what we're hearing and the purposes that are for us and for nobody else, then ultimately you can be as happy as you've ever been before. And that's something that I think both of us have learned specifically in lockdown.
Yeah.
I think both of us have grown so much in lockdown. We're both so much happier and healthier. We're trying.
And yeah, I just feel like it was good to know that someone was on a similar journey to me, and that we were just really just using the time to better ourselves. And although I had my moments where I was like, oh, I'm bored of this now, like the mundane of life. But I remember there was a post that you put up probably a couple of months ago, and you were saying, like, if you're feeling like you're not, I can't remember how you worded it, but it was something about, like, if you're not enjoying the present time that you're in now, then do something different. Like, you know, date yourself, do this, go out, try something new. And I don't know, something just clicked in my head, and I was like, that makes perfect sense. You know, sometimes something so simple, but it just really resonated in those moments. And I was like, I'm just gonna get up and do something different instead of just being so zoned in and on the things that I have to do. And even though I was just more intentional with it, and I found so much joy in that, just being outdoors and more, even though I was doing that anyway. It's more going to places that I wouldn't necessarily go to instead of just staying where I feel comfortable, if that makes sense.
And that's something that I've been trying to do as well. And I read a quote the other day, and I don't remember how it was quite worded, but it was something about not living in the future, living the now. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like what you just said, like it's so easy to, especially as a Christian, because we're always looking forward, we're always kind of praying mm-hmm. for the future, which is fine and that's great, but mm-hmm. it's so easy to forget to live in the now, and it's so easy to forget that what we're doing right now is things that we prayed for previously. Mm-hmm. And if we don't enjoy that moment or enjoy what's going on now, then it's almost disregarding the work that has been done in yeah. a way. And that's why I always say, like, go on a date with yourself. And it might sound so cheesy and so corny, but, like, yeah. it's true. Like, you have to take yourself out. You have mm-hmm. to step out your comfort zone and go mm-hmm. to these new places and find these new people. Because if you're just sat in your house doing absolutely nothing, then you're never going to be able to walk in the purpose that is planned for you. Mm-hmm. And whatever that looks like, if, you know, maybe meeting new friends, like, it's okay to meet new people. It's okay to find new friendships. Like, there's such thing as seasonal friends. There is such mm. thing as even seasonal acquaintances. It doesn't always have to be friendships or, I don't know, jobs. Like, everything is for a season, and everything mm. is going to teach you a lesson mm. At some point along the way. And if you feel like you're kind of being drained of energy as opposed to it giving you energy, then that's something that we have to address and look into.
Yeah, there's definitely a season for everything, and it's being okay with that, and it's allowing yourself to let go of things that no longer serve you anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And not trying to hold on to things that, you know, like you said, if you've done so much work, why would you not, you know, allow that to be seen in your life by the mm-hmm. things that you're actively doing. So stepping out in your comfort zone, giving yourself the opportunity to meet new people. If you were someone like me who would just be like, you know, that's just not something that I like to do. I just like to stick with my circle of people that I know.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like, well, God wants me to step out more. He wants me to connect with more people. And in me just being myself and learning what I enjoy, I've met people on the way. And yeah. it's just like, whoa. You know, I would have never had those experiences if I hadn't stepped out of my comfort zone.
Even down to, like, how we met. You know, I went to one of our life groups, which was like a come dine with me at somebody's house. And mm. that is something I absolutely would never have done. And that's yeah. where I met you. And I knew on that night, even though we connected on the night, but we didn't kind of stay in touch.
No.
I knew that I was going to be in touch with you at some point. And then randomly at church one day, I think we were both on the way out, right?
Yeah.
And you were just like, hi. And I was like, she's talking to me. What do I say? What do I do?
Oh,
and I
God.
Kind of intimately panicked. But then I was like, what are you doing?
Like,
yeah.
So funny.
And that was right. And I was going on holiday, I think like a day or 2 days later. Okay. And that was, and as I was on holidays when lockdown happened.
Wow.
So I literally, and then we obviously kind of yeah. carried on throughout lockdown. So if you hadn't come and spoken to me that night, then I probably wouldn't be sat here with you right now.
And this is a thing, going back to that, like, I remember telling you that I'd seen you in church a few times, and I just look over because it was like a Wednesday service that I used to see you the most, and obviously it's not that busy then, so you can see who's there more.
Mm-hmm.
And I look over and I don't know, something in me, like the Holy Spirit was just saying, like, you'll get on with this girl. There's something mm-hmm. about you that I just feel like I'll get
obviously.
On with you. But obviously I didn't come up to you or like say hello or anything, just left it. So then when I see you at the Come Down With Me Life group, I was like, oh, okay. And I remember telling you that night, I don't know what I was on, but I was on some giggly juice.
You was really giggly that night.
But I was being so giddy and just being silly. And sometimes I'm like that anyway, when I'm comfortable around people,
yeah.
of course. But like, obviously you're a bit more reserved because it was your first time coming, but we talked a little bit, found out a bit about what you did. But then we didn't, like you said, we didn't really, nothing came of it. But that day in church, it was definitely led by God. Because
oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Like,
because it'd been,
we wouldn't have even seen
point.
Each other
yeah.
after that, like, so yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's so many more things to come. Like, I'm not going to get rid of you. Unless he tells me to.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, there's so much I've learned from you in this somewhat of a short time that I've known you, and there was mm. obviously a reason why we were connected and mm. still connecting, and now you're here sharing your story.
Well, we're both sharing.
Well,
you know.
Yeah, it's kind of a regular thing for me nowadays,
yeah.
as for you it's a
yeah,
new
yeah,
thing.
It's a new thing.
It's like dragging people in, like, come on, be on my podcast.
Yeah. Yeah, And that's why I'm all right being here, because I know that it's just like a continuation of the conversations mm-hmm. that we have via WhatsApp, even on Instagram or just on the phone, whatever. So it's just like, it's just natural. It doesn't feel like, you know, whatever you want to call it. But I just think, and that's the thing, like in that moment of, for example, had I like gone up to you or you come up to me before that, it would have might have felt a bit forced. Mm,
yeah.
So it's waiting on God to kind of orchestrate when you should kind of speak to people mm. or engage with something. And it's always, there's always an opportunity for something, isn't there? And it's like sometimes we're kind of like, oh, hi. Like, I don't want to be trying too giddy and be in people's face. That's not me.
And the forced friendships.
Yeah, the forced friendships. Like, I'm not into it, especially, we should touch on that actually, like Christian friendships and how we found that.
The girl's yours.
Even that's a challenge in itself mm-hmm. because obviously you're meeting so many people through church, and it takes a while to obviously get to know people because you know you might just see them on a Sunday, so you have to be intentional to kind of build relationships with people and build a friendship. But that took me a while, you know, and it's still taking a while. And I feel like, you know, I like people who've got a sense of humour, and that's something that I like about you. You've got a sense of humour. You don't take yourself too seriously.
No.
And going back to the whole personality thing as a Christian, it's like, it's okay to laugh. It's okay to have a joke. Like, it doesn't have to be all so serious and spiritual. Like, there's a time for that, but there's a time to have fun as well.
Yeah.
So it's being around people that bring out that side in you. And yeah, your old friends, or I won't say old, but you know, the friends that maybe are non-Christian, or just the people that you've grown up with, you know, your relationships with them are going to be different because you've gone through different experiences. So now our friendship is based on, like, you know, encouraging one another and sharing our struggles sometimes of how we're dealing with things in the faith. And like, you know, it's also saying, not taking ourselves too seriously when we do mess up.
And giving each other the grace that we need when we mess up.
Which grace is an important thing. We need to give each other grace. And just even going back to the example where you said, I was able to come to you and share something with you about what I'd observed or what God had told me to share with you. And it's like you receiving that well and not seeing it as, I'm just like, you know,
I'm coming at very well.
And it's like, but I want people in my life like that. Don't come to me in this fakery. Yeah. I want people who are going to tell me the truth because I could have this perception of myself and how I'm coming across, and it might not be in the best way. So I need someone to point it out and say, listen, I just think you could do this a little better, or have you thought about doing this? Or, you know, just stay in love, you know, with grace and in love.
It's all about the way you approach somebody.
Yeah.
And it's also about knowing the other person as well. So, like, I know how, if I had to say something to you, I know kind of the way I should say it.
Mm.
Like, each person that you approach, you need to approach in a different way. And that's not because you're scared of them or something, but everybody receives things differently. And the way that you word it absolutely does matter. And I'm sure if you came in the other week and sat down and was like, don't do this, don't do that, I'd be like, whoa, okay. You know, and I think it also says a lot about where the person on the receiving end is at. You know, if they're really struggling, if they are really defensive, then it shows that that is an area that they are either trying to work on or that they need to work on. And you just kind of have to help them through that as a friend, especially one kind of as a Christian friendship who, like you said, is trying to help them grow and, you know, coming at them with love and grace. And it's a totally different friendship.
Like,
and that's one thing that I've had to learn how to have Christian friendships. Obviously I still have non-Christian friendships, and I think they're just as important. I think they teach us so many different things than Christian friendships, but I've never really had the encouragement and the people coming up to me saying, actually, don't think you should be doing this, maybe you could do it in a roundabout way. And so that was something that I had to learn. And like you said about church, when I first started going to church in England, I was going for about 10 months before I met anybody that I would class as a friend. And that's not that I didn't speak to people, because I did speak to people and I did go to like the events and things like that. It just, I don't know, maybe God has put me in a season of not making friends at church. And even still, like, yes, I've met friends at my old church, not the one I go to with you, but there's definitely times where I was like, what is going on? Because you have this idea in your head that you go to church and everyone's friends and everyone, you know, goes out for dinner and goes to Bible study. It's all great and life is so much fun. But that's not the truth. That's not the reality at all.
No. And yeah, I think that's, I can relate to that so much because I think it was about a year or so before I started connecting to people. And it was only because I started joining the life groups and just getting involved more because I was just at a point, I was like, I don't know if I want to, you know, I don't know if this is for me. Because for me personally, with my non-Christian friends, I kind of had to take a step away from them for a while. Yeah. And that was because I just had a lot going on and I didn't want to be in a place where I was being influenced. I'm not, I'm not saying that bad people are bad influence because I've got friends who are very level-headed and whatever, that's great. But what I'm trying to say is I was just, it was just I needed to work on myself. Yeah. It wasn't personal. It wasn't anything personal or against them. I just needed to do that. So I was in a season where I wasn't around anybody. So when I was trying to reconnect with people, it was like, it was a bit of a struggle, but I think God was doing the same for me. It was like, you know, I don't want you to really make friends at the moment. So I feel like I'm just kind of connecting with people now, all these, a few years later, and I'm like, okay. And I think that's just because I'm more friendly, because there's a scripture in the Bible says if you want friends, then you first need to be friendly. So that was something I had to work on. I had to be friendly in order to get friends, you know, and then I realized that, you know, it might not be that straightforward. I just think, like you said, it's not all going up, going out, meeting up and doing Bible studies together. Like, it's not like that at all. No. And it's like, you might see them probably once every 3 months, 6 months.
Or especially if you're in a bigger church. Yeah. Like, people can just get so lost in the crowd.
Yeah. So it's been okay. And what I love about the people that I have now, and just not talking about just Christian friends, but just friends in general, there's that understanding of that, life does get busy. And like, even if I don't respond to you straight away, doesn't mean I'm not thinking about you. Doesn't mean that I'm not there if you need me. If you need me, I'm going to be there for you. But it's being okay with like not communicating 24/7 like we might have done years ago because, you know, that's how it was. Oh, what are we doing this weekend? Are we doing this? We're doing that. And that's how it would be. But now it's just like, no, I'm okay to say, no, I can't connect to that. Or I've got a lot of things going on and not feeling guilty or feeling like I have to show up for everyone and people understanding that we've all got busy lives.
Yeah.
And me just understanding that with other people. So if they don't get back to me straight away, I'm not thinking, oh, they don't like me. Or do you know what I mean?
And one thing I have learned with that is see it, somebody not replying to you, but being on social media, like, that used to really irritate me. How can you not reply to my message? But now I understand that for a lot of people, social media is just like a peace outlet. It's just something they do to kind of
escapism.
Exactly. Yeah. So now if I see somebody on social media and not reply to my message, I'm just kind of like, okay, it is what it is. Like, it really doesn't bother me at all. And even like when we first started talking, we would send like paragraphs to each other.
Those essays.
They were like borderline college essays. And I used to, like, I knew that you'd reply and I'd be thinking about you, but I was like, I just need to be in a clear headspace because I don't want to write an essay today. But then we'd see each other, like, I don't know, posting on social media or whatever, and I didn't care. Yeah.
I'm laughing because, like, honestly, sometimes if it was a week to respond, it was a week. And like, sometimes we'd say, oh, I've read your message, but I will get back to you just to like check in and let you know. But like, that's such an important point because even though you see people on social media posting, sometimes I haven't even got the capacity to communicate with people. Like, whatever's going on in my life, personally, professionally, whatever it may be, it's overwhelming when you've got so many messages and notifications. And I'm just like,
especially when people add you to, like, you know, all these group chats and just like, just stop with the group chats. Like, I'm glad you want me in the group chats, but just no. And then people are like, did you read this? I'm like, no, because I don't know. Yeah. And that's something that I really have had to kind of work on is to not get frustrated at people not getting back to me, because like you, like, I'm also that person that doesn't always get back to people. I'm kind of like, if I'm on my phone, you'll get a reply straight away, and if not, like, you could be waiting ages to get a reply. And I don't even apologize for that anymore, because I have the friends around me now who understand kind of what you just said.
Yeah.
You know, everybody doesn't always have the mental capacity to be able to interact with people. And also, like, life's busy, life goes on. And just because I don't reply to you within an hour doesn't mean I'm not your friend. Doesn't mean I'm trying to get rid of you.
And people need to really understand that and deal with it. If it's something that they struggle with, they need to really get a grip with that. Because, like, honestly, if you, as long as you do reply, like, you're not ignoring people, then just be okay with it. And I understand some people do require you to keep that constant communication, but just let them know if you know they're quite sensitive or you feel like they're not going to receive it very well if you do. But I might say, oh, sorry, you know, I've just been a bit busy, but you know. But yeah, I'm free from that now. So if you're posting on social media, that's fine.
I know.
And obviously, I'm not as active as you might be on social media, but it doesn't bother me if people do that. It's like, because I know I'm doing it myself. So.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing. And I think it's so easy to sit here and kind of judge other people for doing it. But what you actually need to do is judge your own actions, because I was judging people for doing things that I'm doing myself, and it's like, well, you can't judge others if you're doing it yourself. That doesn't it doesn't work like that. That's not fair. But yeah, I just think there's so many things that we have to work on internally. There's so many things that we have to come to peace with ourselves before we can kind of project onto other people. And if that means, I don't know, going to church for a year without meeting any friends, or if that means kind of, as Tisha was saying before, taking a season alone privately, to just kind of take a step back from the people that are around you, if you are trying to kind of get out of those crowds or get away from those people. You just need to do what's best for you, and to know that as long as you're praying, as long as you're reading the word, as long as you're going to church or watching preachings, however it is that you kind of get yourself into the word, like, whatever you're hearing and whatever you're laughing at, like, those are the things that you need to pursue, like, head on, because usually, as we said, the things that you laugh at the most are the things that are going to come at you the thickest, the fastest, and, you know, just so out of the blue. And just thank you for coming on today. It's been so nice, and it's nice to actually get my personality across. Because it's so, it's like I said, it's so easy to just sit here and talk to myself, and then you can, in the videos, and I might be putting myself on blast here, but in the videos you can see when I'm really thinking about what I'm trying to say, because I have nobody to have like a conversation with, so I just end up sitting there like, so so it's been nice, but thank you for coming
on.
I hope you all have a good week, and I will see you soon for another episode. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Opening Up with Rachel Smith. I hope to see you back for future episodes so we can all continue growing and figuring this thing called life out.